Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That, though, is probably the question that we can ask of damn near every NBA superstar and their team at this point, because after last night, when the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic went out and got a dub against the Clippers and looked for the second game like the best team on the court, Chiney, I feel like we're okay to ask some questions. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and Sirius XM Channel 80, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. And it feels like the real wild, wild west out here inside the bubble right now, Chiney, because what we thought we knew so far through the course of the early goings in the playoffs seems like it's got a pretty good chance to get undone.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because today is a big day. Today is obviously the NBA draft lottery day, but we also have a lot of teams with, we're not going to call them must-win games, but more like just win. We just need to see that you can win so that your whole season isn't going up in shambles. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how teams respond. Now you have to add the Clippers to the list. We will see very soon how the Bucks respond, how the Lakers respond. But I never thought we'd be in this situation where the top teams are sort of stumbling.
Yeah, stumbling is putting it kindly right here. So what we've seen is obviously the 2-1 seeds and the Bucks and the Lakers on each side both fall in their first game of the first round. And we will see if they're able to respond coming up here in just a little bit as both will be in action. But we also had last night the Clippers, who have been the other consensus team in that, like we mentioned off the top, involved in it. And it's got some people talking sort of wild about some things. Here was Paul Pierce, our ESPN NBA analyst, coming for LeBron early in this.
If they don't win this year, LeBron's not getting any younger. This is going to be a big hit on his legacy. And I've already said he's not a top five player of all time. If the Lakers don't win a championship, let alone lose in the first round, I don't want to hear none of this GOAT talk no more.
First off, I applaud Paul Pierce for letting his personal bias seep so deeply into his analysis of this situation that it's almost hard to indistinguish the two, right?
Like, he's wildin'. Paul Pierce is wildin'. Okay, I understand where maybe you don't think he's the greatest of all time, but immediately say he's not in the top five.
Mm-mm.
And like just to say it with so much conviction, not even trying to be polite, it's like, this dude is a regular dude. He's just always just one of them greats. Like, we're literally witnessing him history at age 35. Leading the league in assists. What did he give us last? How do you wake up after that game and say that, like, LeBron James ain't it? Like, 23, 17, and 16. Now, the question is, do you have your team winning? And Paul Pierce, we know where he comes from. He comes from Boston. And I'm so excited because today we'll also hear from another Boston champ, Kendrick Perkins. Also, right, we have a great lineup joining us, you know, with the Locker Room Talk, Mike Schmidt, ESPN NBA draft analyst. And then we also have June Lee, the ESPN writer, who's going to sum up basically this new age and new day for high school stars, you know, starting with LaMelo Ball. But back to Perk, because both Perk and Paul Pierce really say it with their chest. It must be in that Boston water, right? But
it is. It's something different up there
different.
Right now.
That's
by the way,
a different breed.
And you mentioned that guest list. Chiney and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you miss any of those guests, you can listen to all 4 hours on demand in the ESPN app. So make sure you check that out. But something in that Boston water, we'll get to that team in a little bit here because they're starting to make some interesting waves of their own and going to have us questioning the process here. But Chiney, I want to ask you, because what Paul Pierce said about LeBron James, to me, about legacy, about the way we look at what's happening in this bubble is what comes into question, because now that we've seen the top teams, like the Lakers have the second-best record in the league when play shut down. They had just beaten the 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Clippers in about a week's time, and we're trending so much that we were going to start to talk about maybe LeBron James catching Giannis in this MVP discussion that now feels open and shut. And so I want to bring back up something that we've talked about before, the idea of not putting an asterisk next to this bubble experience to say that it's a lesser championship, but to merely say, based on what we've seen so far, LeBron's talked about it. This bubble and going here might have hit the Lakers as hard as anybody because continuity matters. You know this, the way you're playing at a time and rolling into something might not give us, in this case right here, we'll get the best team in the bubble, I have no doubt, who responded to all this. But it doesn't mean we're getting the best team from the 2019-2020 season, right? We're not getting a champion of that. We're getting a champion of this tournament that we've set up here separate from that.
You're right. And now we're starting to see, like, there are different factors that lead to success in the bubble. It's not necessarily having a superstar, because we've seen Giannis try to ball out and they still lost. We see LeBron ball out, they still lost. We saw Donovan Mitchell ball out and they lost, but then they bounced back, which is nice. superstars and talent. You can't do it by yourself anymore. But also, when you enter the bubble, the teams that have the real advantage, like the Toronto Raptors, got there 2 weeks before. So now it's like the added game of, all right, we want to make sure our team is healthy. We want to make sure our team is comfortable in this environment. There's small nuances to the game as shooting on rims. That's the whole point of home court advantage. You know, the more you shoot on a rim, the more comfortable you are there. And so for the Raptors to get there 2 weeks early and to get on those rims and get in a different environment, I think that's a huge advantage for them. And it, even more so, it's teams that have players and pieces coming in and out of the bubble. Like, one of the biggest boosts for the Clippers, which is why I was surprised that they sort of took a step back, was Montrezl Harrell coming back, because he's a beast. He and Lou Will in that pick and roll off the bench amount for 36 points per game. So you're looking at this team and you're like, okay, even though they have so much talent, they're still dealing with players that are available and players that are not. We're talking about Rondo as well being available for the Lakers, a guy that knows how to go up against Damian Lillard. So those are all additional factors that these championship teams before the bubble were like, oh, we good. We're cruising. We're the Bucks. We're the Lakers. You know, we're the Clippers. And we're sort of in our bag. You know, this is our rhythm as vets. That's what you train for, to peak at the right time. You keep saying that about LeBron James because he's an expert at that. But guess what? We had a 4-month break. Most athletes, especially basketball players, like, don't go 4 days without touching a ball. And so all of the things you knew go out of the window. And now we're seeing the small details that matter. Having enough talent, having a team that can sort of, you know, share the ball and distribute the ball, and also having shot makers. It's like literally having the hoopers on your squad that you don't have to run plays for, that can just go and play free. And that's why you're seeing all these success stories of guys with chips on their shoulders that literally just probably hooped in different scenarios, not normal conventional scenarios, sort of, you know, break out and have success for their teams.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting part. It's Chinnan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And I look at this, and I don't want to get to the point where we're making excuses for talent, because we look at these and we say in a lot of these situations the talent is enough to where it should overcome in these spots. But you bringing up LeBron James is the perfect example in all this. Here was LeBron the other day talking about the bubble effect. Again, we've heard him bring this up a ton, but this was LeBron talking about the effect overall.
Like I continue to say, this is different. This is different in an aspect of just, I mean, we're in a bubble with no fans. But as far as me being locked in on the game plan, that doesn't change, not one bit. Going out and making plays, playing at a high level to try to help our team win, that was the same. Nothing changes from that. That's the same me.
And LeBron's talked about the fans, and people have brought up, you know, he's been playing in front of these crowds since he was a teenager. Maybe he's so used to that. I think it's more in line with what you brought up, this idea that for an older player, especially one whose routine is the hallmark of LeBron's professional life, the way he builds up to the postseason, to knock him off that certainly takes a big advantage away from a team that already didn't have the depth, was relying on all that continuity that you talked about building up, versus maybe rewarding younger teams. The Mavs have a really young core. They're a little less locked into all these routines at this point. They're not as built on that over years of time, and so maybe they're a little more nimble. I'm trying to search for a reason to say that it's not an excuse, but it's an acknowledgement of the reality we face here.
There shouldn't be any excuse. Like, these are top teams with tremendous talent. Giannis is a talented player. My goodness. He's likely to be 2-time MVP. His team had the best record in the East. This is a tremendous talent. Why should there be a struggle? LeBron James, despite what Paul Pierce says, is arguably one of the greatest of all time. You got to put him in your top five, right? Why is his team still struggling while playing off of him when you have Anthony Davis, another guy that is sort of looking for a little bit more consistency? These are questions that need to be answered, questions that we never thought would need answers, but we're at that day and age. And I think you're right. It's because the young players in the league, you know what they feel? They feel like they got nothing to lose.
Yep.
You're like, look, I'm here. I'm playing against these key players. We saw this with Brooklyn. Brooklyn and Caris LeVert in that elimination, you know, seeding game versus the Trailblazers. It's like, oh, y'all here talking about Dame Dolla being the hottest player? Well, guess what? I'm going to give you – let me show you something. Let me show you just a little something. So it's really cool because the next generation of the NBA has arrived. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Luka Doncic, the list goes on and on. Zion Williamson no longer in the bubble, but the next generation is not waiting to pay their dues. They literally are here trying to get paid and put some respect on their name.
Absolutely. And I want to stick with that trio you brought up, that group from the Celtics, because we saw them give it to the Sixers in a very real way. That Sixers team looks like there is not a lot of life left there. And so coming up next, you talk about questions we need to answer. What do we do with this Sixers core if it continues to go this way? And can we ultimately write off the process as a failure at this point?
Ooh.
We'll get to that next. It's Chenea Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chenea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
There are two things that feel extremely cruel right now on Chenea Ngola Jr. One is, we got dreams and nightmares coming back right now, and I feel like, Chenea, we've officially reached the nightmares portion of the Philly Chronicles here, right?
Oh yeah, because it's all dreams if you're a Celtics fan, but it's definitely all nightmares, for sure. Paige Meek Mill, like, he needs to literally perform that song in front of them in the locker room, because what we saw yesterday was pretty flat.
Yeah, that is true. We need to get Meek to the bubble. Like, Cliff, our board op here on the show, is our resident Philly fan, Temple grad. Like, Cliff, how are you feeling, man? Where are we at on the? Because you're one that's quick to jump ship on Philly sports if given the opportunity. So you overboard already?
Not overboard, actually. I still fully believe in the process. I think we have two superstars that are extremely special on this roster. We just need to clear house. Listen, Elton Brand needs to go.
I don't like this. I don't like this. Can we cut his mic? He's the one who usually cuts our mics, because this was not the energy you had in the break.
Mm-mm.
So I'm going to give you another opportunity, Cliff, to say what you really mean. So, Cliff, how do you feel about the process at this point?
All right, listen, I'm a little bit down on the process right now, but listen, it's all going to work out. Listen, we got two talented players, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Just build around that. Get rid of everything and everyone around them. Just build around that, and then we'll be back. Think about it. They're only 24, 25. We got plenty of time with them.
I wish you guys could meet the Cliff that we have during the commercial break, because this is not the same dude.
That Cliff is a savage. Don't worry, producer Shannon. You're coming up when we talk about the Knicks, so get yourself ready, too.
I was going to say, we got that factory of sadness going on, and apparently people keep sending me screenshots that right now, you can tweet us at Chenea321. At Mike Golic Jr., that right now, while we're on air, they are airing the 2013 BCS national title game where we got the dog, you know, walked the dog on by Alabama in that game right
Speaking
now.
Speaking of nightmares.
On ESPN. Exactly. So everyone around here is hurting right now, but maybe no one more than Sixers fans. So, Chenea, you brought it up before. The Boston Celtics looked great last night. The 76ers look like they are lost. Here was their head coach, Brett Brown, talking about where they go next.
Make sure you hold the spirit of a locker room. You make sure that the group understands there's enough character and there's enough talent in the room to regroup. If the planet were normal, you'd be going back to Philadelphia, and they did what they should have. And the message is some level of belief. And what I said, I mean. I think that there is enough character and there's enough talent in the room to respond. I think it got deflating when their shot makers went bananas. And I'm not gonna scold their effort. I think that you got to shake their hands to the Celtics on some of the shots.
That is the voice of Brett Brown, head coach of the 76ers. You're listening to Chenea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and SiriusXM 80 now. It's time to play the blame game, because I know a lot of blame is probably going to Brett Brown, because he clearly, like, is trying. What I heard there was a prayer, like the mention of planets, like hopefully, you know, in an alternate planet, like we're not in the bubble.
In a world.
And also it's like belief, hope, trust, talent, like all of those words that are pretty much like prayers. Like, guys, remember who you are. And as Cliff said, you know, there is talent on this team, and you sort of wish that during this time someone would step up. But, I mean, I went on SportsCenter yesterday, and they asked me, like, Chenea, what do the 76ers need to do to be successful going into the next game against the Celtics? And I was like, be aggressive. And I was talking specifically to Joel Embiid. Now, Joel Embiid, if you look at his numbers, 11 for 21, he needed to get 21 shots, 12 for 13 from the free throw line, 34 points, 10 rebounds, all of them defensive. You can't be mad at him, but there were possessions in the second half where I was like, we're not playing defense. you know, one of the number one signs of playing defense is getting low and getting in a stance. And it wasn't just post, because usually post, we'd be slipping all the time. But some of the guards were just, like, getting hit by screens. It's like, and what next? So the process, I think it's really interesting to see that we're here. We all believe in Joel Embiid and his talents to be a star. We also hope that, you know, they can have synergy between the two, Ben Simmons, and hopefully be healthy and play together. But the reality is that it's not worked, and the health has been an issue, and it's just not been consistent enough.
And I think that what you just mentioned there, the process, is going to be at the heart of all this. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we've got this team right now that, like you said, just the effort, all of the things that you shouldn't have to coach at this point, with a team that, while I get they're still young age-wise, like Cliff mentioned, has been together for a long enough time now that we feel like we're starting to know or should know this group. And so, Chinee, I think it's fair to start looking at and going back and having that big picture discussion about the process. Like, this is what you were building towards in Philadelphia. Getting a bunch of, you know, tanking, being bad for a short period of time so you get a bunch of draft picks together, get quality players like this, get high-end, top-end stars, but the way you've built around them, the voice that's leading them, all of these things that create a cohesive team, like they're looking across the sideline at the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens and what he's leading there. They're just, yeah. There seems to be all of the ingredients and none of the mixing going on for the 76ers in this.
So basically you're telling me that the Sixers are feeling like the grass is greener on the other side, like literally with the green, the Boston's. Now the question is, did the process work? I want to know if you think it worked. I think it still worked, because even though you missed out on a talent of the likes of Jason Tatum, because everyone remembers number one was Markelle Fultz, I think in 2017, who, you know, they traded up to get, the Sixers did. Two was Lonzo Ball and three was Jason Tatum. So you still have two stars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Tobias Harris, now, despite the game, I would love to get Cliff's thoughts on that, but despite his game, he's a better player in this league, and so is Al Horford. But the people that I mentioned, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, and Tobias Harris, they're all practically position quadruplets.
Yep.
Like, all the same players.
Redundant, yeah.
And they all take up the same space. So while that works, once in a while, when you're going up against the Bucks defensively, you're long enough to stop Giannis and to contest shots. Now you got to piece that in for the rest of the other teams, like the 29 other teams, and it's not been so easy. It has worked because it's taken Philly to a point where we feel like we can pick them as favorites if they're healthy, but it hasn't worked probably to your standards.
Oh, it hasn't, I think, worked to the level we expected to see, given how well they picked the talent. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I want to come back to this, but the process starts at the draft, and that all starts with the lottery. We've got that coming up later tonight. And so coming up next, we're going to talk to our ESPN NBA draft analyst, Mike Schmitz, about who we can expect to help somebody else's process coming up this year. That's next on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Do a closet change.
Ooh.
Don't rush.
I missed this whole like TikTok trend, by the way. Like, I feel like that one was primarily dominated by the ladies. Like, I don't think our version of this would have been nearly as good, and I don't think I can get all the way to the camera in
here. For those who don't understand, this was a TikTok challenge where you listen to the song and play the song, and then you like sort of put your hand to the camera and then you turn into someone else. So
you had a whole transformation. I couldn't do that and like magic any hair back on my head, so it didn't seem like
well, speaking of transformations, there are going to be a lot of transformations for franchises and players, right, Golic Jr.?
You're right. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Chinee Agwumike here, and we are going now to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where all of our guests join us to welcome in our ESPN NBA draft analyst, Mike Schmitz. Mike, we appreciate the time today, and Chinee and I were just talking and revisiting the process, talking about the 76ers and the way they went about building a team. So as we get ready to watch the ping pong balls bounce tonight, how important is this still, like hitting on the lottery pick as the means of being a franchise changer, or are we at the point where people are building on guys from later and later in the draft?
I still think it's huge. You know, if you look at the Giannises of the world, right, the Dame Lillards, you know, hitting on these top 10 picks, especially guys who really you didn't think that they would become this. You know, I don't think anybody thought Giannis would become this. I don't think Dame, you know, people saw him making, you know, 40 footers in playoff games. So I think when you can find those diamonds in a rough, it can really turn your franchise. And that's what makes, you know, this lottery night and eventually the draft, whenever that happens, extremely important.
Mike, thanks for joining us. Now, the premier name up for grabs, though, is likely LaMelo Ball, and his name is not foreign to the spotlight at all. Is the hype real? Is the hype to be believed with his talents?
If you would have asked me that 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been quite as sure, right? I mean, I went out and saw him in Lithuania. You know, I followed him when he was at Chino Hills, and he's really turned the corner. I mean, he's grown to 6'7", 6'8". You know, he's always had the talent. He's always had the ability to make deep shots and kind of the fearlessness, the ball handling, the passing. But this was really his first time in a serious situation, you know, playing against grown men, playing against, you know, out in Australia. And he really shined. He was one of the best players in that league at just 18 years old. And he's really everything you want in a starting point guard. You know, he's, like I said, got tremendous vision, tremendous creativity. And I think you're getting a little bit of like a 6'7 Trae Young in some ways. Now, he doesn't quite shoot it like that, but a guy that you can kind of give the keys to and say, hey, you're going to run our offense. You're going to be showtime every time you step on the floor. And, you know, like I said, he's got that size as well. So I'm very intrigued by him, and he's the guy I would take first overall.
Mike Schmitz, our ESPN NBA draft analyst, with us here. So outside of that, you said you would take him first in this situation. Who else should people be looking for? Maybe the names that they're less familiar with, or just because of how long and strange this process has been leading up because of the pandemic, that we should be watching for as the ping pong balls bounce tonight and teams start to find out their fate.
Yeah, so the three candidates to go number one, in my view, are LaMelo, Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. I think if you would pull all three teams today, you know, he's probably the most likely to go first overall just because, you know, he played over 30 games in a major conference. And, you know, he had 37 points against Michigan State and Maui. He had some monster games. And, you know, 6'5", 6'10", 6'11", wingspan, 225 pounds. And he's kind of in that Donovan Mitchell, Victor Oladipo, you know, to a greater degree, James Harden, a guy who you can kind of give the ball and say, hey, go generate offense for us, go get a bucket. So teams really like that about him. He's a little bit rough around the edges still in terms of his decision-making, his defense, but there's a ton of upside with him. And then you have James Wiseman, who's, you know, a physical marvel, 7'1", moves like a wing, you know, dunks everything, catches everything, can put a lid on the rim on the other end of the floor. So I think those are the three names that are most likely to go number one. And then you'll have some other, you know, more familiar names like an Obi Toppin, who was really, really good in college basketball, probably the best player in college basketball. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting lottery night. I think this is kind of a needs-based draft. There's no real transcendent star at the top the way teams see it. So I think how these, you know, ping pong balls fall is going to really dictate, you know, who gets drafted where.
Now, Mike, I still am trying to wrap my head around this. Somehow the rich could get richer. The Warriors mm-hmm. are one of the teams with the higher odds towards getting the number one pick. What do you think about that entire situation? We know how last season went, but before that, they had five straight finals appearances. What do you think they do if they do secure the number one pick?
Yeah, I think they have a few different options. You know, I think for them, Edwards makes some sense as a guy you can slot in next to Steph, next to Clay, next to Wiggins, and can go get you buckets right now. But also you can groom to kind of become the face of your franchise as those guys get older. Then there's a school of thought, hey, James Wiseman, let's kind of use him as the DeAndre Jordan for us, right? Kind of those Lob City Clippers days where he can just focus on catching lobs, finishing everything, and blocking shots. And then, really, I think maybe the most interesting school of thought is trading back in this draft because there are a lot of players in that 4, 5, 6, 7 range who I think are probably a little bit better suited to help them right away. You look at, you know, like I said, an Obi Toppin, a guard out of Iowa State, Tyrese Halliburton, who's really, really smart, doesn't need the ball in his hands to be effective. Kid Denny Avdija, who's been coming out of Israel, Israeli-Serbian forward. So there's a lot of options kind of later in that top 10 of players, you know, who could fit now. And then you don't have to pay what you pay a number one pick, right? And I think they save themselves some money there. So I think that's going to be an interesting option for them as well.
Mike, you mentioned Denny in this one, and I think everyone's always looking. Most of us are getting caught up to speed on this. You live this looking at these draft prospects. So as far as the international players, who else should we be looking for near the top of this draft?
Yeah, this is a very, very strong international draft. You know, Denny is one that I've said, he's a guy who wouldn't shock me if he's the best player to come out of this draft, as we look back, you know, in 5 years, he's really where the NBA is going. You know, he's 6'9", 6'10". He can play really 1 through 4, can handle the ball in transition, excellent passer, versatile defender. So he's, you know, the kind of the premier international talent. There's a point guard, half French, half American, who's been playing in Germany, named Killian Hayes. 6'6", lefty, really, really cerebral and smart in pick and roll, developing shooter. You'll hear some comparisons to like a D'Angelo Russell type. So there's a lot of intrigue with those two. There's a kind of a unicorn who's been developing out in Greece, Alexei Pokushevsky, 7'1", can really shoot it, can handle, can pass. Another French guard, Teo Maladon, and then an Argentinian point guard, Leandro Bomaro, who's been playing in Barcelona. So, I mean, you could really see as many as, you know, 5 international prospects selected in the top 20. And then you also have, you know, LaMelo and RJ Hampton, who were out playing in Australia. So a lot of variety this year, no doubt about it.
It's the spice of life, and we're looking forward to seeing as everyone starts to slot based on where the ping pong balls fall tonight. Mike, we appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
My reminder, the NBA Draft Lottery is tonight at 8:30 on ESPN. And Chinay Ngola Jr. also reminding you that the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers battle the Blazers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. All right, coming up next, we switch gears and try and figure out how the Reds need to handle the situation with Tom Brenneman, their play-by-play announcer, who last night was caught using a homophobic slur on a hot mic. We will discuss that situation next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Gwumike here. Our thanks to Mike Schmitz, our ESPN NBA draft analyst, for joining us. Last segment, getting ready, 8:30 Eastern tonight. The ping pong balls get going. Chinay, this is something interesting, and I want to get in with you later because, obviously, you were a number one overall pick. Like, this has got to be a weird feeling going in and looking out and seeing. Now, going into the draft for you, I'm just curious here. Did you know, were you the consensus number one overall pick last year? Like, were there any butterflies for you that it might be you or someone else?
That's so funny because I was the consensus number one overall pick, but I didn't know it. Everyone else knew it. Huh. I remember on my draft day, everyone was like, oh, I got a call from this coach. I got a call from that coach. And I was like looking around. I remember it was Odyssey Sims and Bria Hartley. I was like, yo, I didn't get any calls. Like, this is, I don't know what that means. Like, what, shouldn't coaches, like, shouldn't, I'm going to get drafted, right? And so after I got drafted number one, I went to my coach at the time, the late great Ann Donovan, and she was like, Chinay, you didn't get calls because everyone knew that we were already going to pick you. I was like, oh. And then NECA sort of hits me on the head and is like, really? Like, this is what I have to deal with my little sister. So.
Well, I was going to say, your sister, for anyone that doesn't know, WNBA PA president, former WNBA MVP, and also a number one overall pick. NECA's my age, so she's a couple years older than you. So you had the perfect person to walk you through this process, and she didn't let you know, like, hey, this is how it goes when you're number one?
I think as you discovered not too long ago that she likes to watch me squirm. So when she surprised me on our debut, she clearly enjoys that. But, yeah, 2 number one overall picks. The only siblings to do that other than Peyton and Eli Manning in major sports. So
see, cool. That's the kind of unique insight you get on Chinay Ngola Jr. here. Now, that is a great situation. We're going to get back to that because there's plenty to look ahead as we've talked about the process, the NBA draft, and things
so
going on.
So much to go to, yeah.
Tonight, but Major League Baseball had itself a tough moment, and really the Cincinnati Reds last night. Tom Brenneman, who is the longtime Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer for their team, last night was caught on a hot microphone using a homophobic slur seconds before going back on air during their game in an inexcusable and inexplicable moment from him. Now, since then, Fox has pulled Tom Brenneman from its NFL lineup. They said as of today, he was also one of their play-by-play announcers. For that, Fox released a statement saying Fox Sports is extremely disappointed with Tom Brenneman's remarks during Wednesday's Cincinnati Reds telecast. The language used was abhorrent, unacceptable, and not representative of the values of Fox Sports. Now, the Cincinnati Reds also put out a statement, said the organization is devastated by the horrific, homophobic remark made this evening by broadcaster Tom Brenneman. He was pulled off the air and effective immediately was suspended from doing Reds broadcasts. We will be addressing our broadcasting team in the coming days, and in no way does this incident represent our players, coaches, organization, or fans. We share our sincerest apologies to the LGBTQ+ community in Cincinnati, Kansas City, and all across this country and beyond. The Reds embrace a zero-tolerance policy for bias or discrimination of any kind, and we're truly sorry for anyone who has been offended. And Chiney, I think it's fair to say, listen, Fox on the football side has already made a decision that he will not be a part of their broadcast coming up this fall. But it's fair to say and wonder, should he ever really be working in sports like this again, or will he after this?
I think that all organizations are going to do their due diligence. So, like, saying that he's not going to work this season, I think that's a good move, just because what we heard was just so baffling. I mean, character, it's all a reflection of character, and character is really doing the right thing when no one is looking. Character is revealed when everyone leaves the room, but what really makes this baffling is that someone was on the other side of that conversation. So even though the mic was hot and he didn't think it was, like, someone was still hearing what you said. And others even were still in the room. It takes a real village to hold down a broadcast. And I really feel for everyone who might have heard that type of language before, but couldn't really address it based on, you know, when you have certain positions, it's hard to confront people of power. When you have the mic, it is a place of power. And the fact that you are comfortable saying such a thing while your mic is on is a problem. The fact that you're comfortable saying such a thing in the workplace is a problem. The fact that you say that, period, is a problem. So I'm not here to tell whether a man gets fired or not. I know he has a long tenure as a broadcaster and he comes from a family in which they're, you know, respected, especially in their craft. But I do think that what you said, even though your intention was not to be heard over the mics, maybe it's good to be heard, because now you know this should not happen. This is 2020 and these things should not be happening. That should not be in your brain. That should not be in your rhetoric. Especially for someone whose rhetoric is their job.
And I think you made a great point there. It's Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, is that other people still had to hear that, even if it wasn't going out there. You have no idea who in that crew might be a part of the LGBTQ plus community and who has to hear that and doesn't have the power to stand up and say something. And so certainly credit to Fox for acting quickly and getting him off the broadcast in that time period. You're right. There's no excuse for that. And listen, as someone who's called a fair amount of games at this point, you're fully aware of when you're coming back and all these things. To be that cavalier shows that this is something you're just far too comfortable saying in your everyday life. And like you said, maybe exposing that is the right thing. There's no place for it. There's no excuse for it. And it's unbelievable. And so I think we want to say that first and foremost before we play this next down, because what we got as a result of this situation that will be dealt with and is being dealt with promptly was some of the most insanely ridiculous sound in a sporting event I have ever heard. So Tom Brennaman was on this broadcast trying to issue an apology, and here's exactly how that went. Again, issuing an apology on Fox Sports Ohio for using a homophobic slur on air, and then this happens.
I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness.
So we have already established that that was a deplorable even instance, right? That was a bizarre apology.
In every way, shape, and form. Like, forget the fact that it took you three different portions of that apology to get to the group that you were actually attacking with the words that you use. But then to call a home run in the middle of all of it, like, I feel like we can't ignore how insane. Like, we will never again, I hope to every God that will listen, never again deal with a situation like this because of the obvious, very serious implications of it. But then for dude to just casually rip off the home run, to have play-by-play so firmly ingrained in his DNA that he ripped off that home run call in the middle of what was a god-awful apology, I award you no points, sir, and we'll see what happens with this going forward. Again, Fox already making decisions that are completely understandable given the nature of this. Coming back, we'll switch gears and take a look at the NBA coming up tonight on ESPN Radio.